Psalm 12. Save me, Lord, because the good people are all gone. No true believers are left on earth. Everyone lies to his neighbors. They say one thing and mean another. The Lord will stop those flattering lips and cut off those bragging tongues. They say our tongues will help us win. We can say what we wish. No one is our master. But the Lord says, I will now rise up because the poor are being hurt. Because of the moans of the helpless, I will give them the help they want. The Lord's words are pure, like silver purified by fire, like silver purified seven times over. Lord, you will keep us safe. You will always protect us from such people. But the wicked are all around us. Everyone loves what is wrong. Genesis chapter 23. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Abraham was very sad and cried because of her. After a while, he got up from the side of his wife's body and went to talk to the Hittites. He said, I am only a stranger and a foreigner here. Sell me some of your land so that I can bury my dead wife. The Hittites answered Abraham, Sir, you are a great leader among us. You may have the best place we have to bury your dead. You may have any of our burying places that you want, and none of us will stop you from burying your dead body. Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land of the Hittites. He said to them, If you truly want to help me bury my dead wife here, speak to Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me. Ask him to sell me the cave of Machpelah at the edge of his field. I will pay him the full price. You can be the witnesses that I am buying it as a burial place. Ephron was sitting among the Hittites at the city gate. He answered Abraham, No, sir, I will give you the land and the cave that is in it. With these people as witnesses, bury your dead wife. Then Abraham bowed down before the Hittites. He said to Ephron before all the people, Please, let me pay you the full price for the field. Accept my money, and I will bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, Sir, the land is worth 10 pounds of silver, but I will argue with you over the price. Take the land and bury your dead wife. Abraham agreed and paid Ephron in front of the Hittite witnesses. He weighed out the full price, 10 pounds of silver, and they counted the weight as the traders normally did. So Ephron's field in Machpelah, east of Mamre, was sold. Abraham became the owner of the field, the cave in it, and all the trees that were in the field. The sale was made at the city gate with the Hittites as witnesses. After this, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre. Mamre was later called Hebron in the land of Canaan. So Abraham bought the field and the cave in it from the Hittites to use as a burying place. Genesis chapter 24. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Abraham said to his oldest servant, who was in charge of everything he owned, Put your hand under my leg. Make a promise to me before the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. Don't get a wife for my son from the Canaanite girls who live around here. Instead, go to my country, to the land of my relatives, and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, What if this woman does not want to return with me to this land? Then should I take your son with me back to your homeland? Abraham said to him, No, don't take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, brought me from the home of my father and the land of my relatives, and he promised me, I will give this land to your descendants. The Lord will send his angel before you to help you get a wife for my son there. If the girl won't come back with you, you will be free from this promise. But you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under his master's leg and made a promise to Abraham about this. The servant took 10 of Abraham's camels and left, carrying with him many different kinds of beautiful gifts. He went to northwest Mesopotamia to Nahor's city. In the evening, when the women came out to get water, he made the camels kneel down at the well outside the city. The servant said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, allow me to find a wife for his son today. Please show this kindness to my master Abraham. Here I am, standing by the spring, and the girls from the city are coming out to get water. I will say to one of them, please put your jar down so I can drink. Then let her say, drink, and I will also give water to your camels. If that happens, I will know she is the right one for your servant Isaac, and that you have shown kindness to my master. Before the servant had finished praying, Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, came out of the city. Bethuel was the son of Milcah and Nahor, Abraham's brother. Rebekah was carrying her water jar on her shoulder. She was very pretty, a virgin. She had never had sexual relations with a man. She went down to the spring and filled her jar, then came back up. The servant ran to her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Rebekah said, drink, sir. She quickly lowered the jar from her shoulder and gave him a drink. After he finished drinking, Rebekah said, I will also pour some water for your camels. So she quickly poured all the water from her jar into the drinking trough for the camels. Then she kept running to the well until she had given all the camels enough to drink. The servant quietly watched her. He wanted to be sure the Lord had made his trip successful. After the camels had finished drinking, he gave Rebekah a gold ring weighing 1/5 of an ounce and 2 gold arm bracelets weighing about 4 ounces each. He asked, who is your father? Is there a place in his house for me and my men to spend the night? Rebekah answered, my father is Bethuel, the son of Milcah and Nahor. Then she said, and yes, we have straw for your camels and a place for you to spend the night. The servant bowed and worshipped the Lord and said, blessed is the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. The Lord has been kind and truthful to him and has led me to my master's relatives. Then Rebekah ran and told her mother's family about all these things. She had a brother named Laban who ran out to Abraham's servant who was still at the spring. Laban had heard what she had said and had seen the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms. So he ran out to the well, and there was the man standing by the camels at the spring. Laban said, sir, you are welcome to come in. You don't have to stand outside. I have prepared the house for you and also a place for your camels. So Abraham's servant went into the house. After Laban unloaded the camels and gave them straw and food, he gave water to Abraham's servant so he and the man with him could wash their feet. Then Laban gave the servant food, but the servant said, I will not eat until I have told you why I came. So Laban said, then tell us. He said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master in everything, and he has become a rich man. The Lord has given him many flocks of sheep, herds of cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and horses. Sarah, my master's wife, gave birth to a son when she was old, and my master has given everything he owns to that son. My master had me make a promise to him and said, don't get a wife for my son from the Canaanite girls who live around here. Instead, you must go to my father's people and to my family. There you must get a wife for my son. I said to my master, what if the woman will not come back with me? But he said, I serve the Lord who will send his angel with you and will help you. You will get a wife for my son from my family and my father's people. Then you will be free from the promise. But if they will not give you a wife for my son, you will be free from this promise. Today I came to this spring. I said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, please make my trip successful. I am standing by this spring. I will wait for a young woman to come out to get water, and I will say, please give me water from your jar to drink. Then let her say, drink this water, and I will also get water for your camels. By this I will know the Lord has chosen her for my master's son. Before I finished my silent prayer, Rebekah came out of the city with her water jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and got water. I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered the jar from her shoulder and said, drink this. I will also get water for your camels. So I drank, and she gave water to my camels too. When I asked her, who is your father? She answered, my father is Bethuel, son of Milcah and Nahor. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed my head and thanked the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, because he led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now tell me, will you be kind and truthful to my master? And if not, tell me so. Then I will know what I should do." Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is clearly from the Lord, and we cannot change what must happen. Rebekah is yours. Take her and go. Let her marry your master's son, as the Lord has commanded." When Abraham's servant heard these words, he bowed face down on the ground before the Lord. Then he gave Rebekah gold and silver jewelry and clothes. He also gave expensive gifts to her brother and mother. The servant and the men with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, the servant said, "Now let me go back to my master." Rebekah's mother and her brother said, "Let Rebekah stay with us at least 10 days. After that, she may go." But the servant said to him, "Do not make me wait, because the Lord has made my trip successful. Now let me go back to my master." Rebekah's brother and mother said, "We will call Rebekah and ask her what she wants to do." They called her and asked her, "Do you want to go with this man now?" She said, "Yes, I do." So they allowed Rebekah and her nurse to go with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said, "Our sister, may you be the mother of thousands of people, and may your descendants capture the cities of their enemies." Then Rebekah and her servant girls got on the camels and followed the servant and his men. So the servant took Rebekah and left. At this time, Isaac had left Beer Lahai-Roi and was living in southern Canaan. One evening, when he went out to the field to think, he looked up and saw camels coming. Rebekah also looked and saw Isaac. Then she jumped down from the camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant answered, "That is my master." So Rebekah covered her face with her veil. The servant told Isaac everything that had happened. Then Isaac brought Rebekah into the tent of Sarah his mother, and she became his wife. Isaac loved her very much, and so he was comforted after his mother's death.
Chapter 9.
Jesus got into a boat, crossed the sea, and came to his own city. Some people brought him a paralyzed man on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Cheer up, friend, your sins are forgiven." Then some of the scribes thought, "He is dishonoring God." Jesus knew what they were thinking. He asked them, "Why are you thinking evil things? Is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." So the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and praised God for giving such authority to humans. When Jesus was leaving that place, he saw a man sitting in a tax office. The man's name was Matthew. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and sinners came to eat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Those who are sick do. Learn what this means. I want mercy, not sacrifices. I've come to call sinners, not people who think they don't have any flaws." Then John's disciples came to Jesus. They said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples never do?" Jesus replied, "Can wedding guests be sad while the groom is still with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. No one patches an old coat with a new piece of cloth that will shrink. When the patch shrinks, it will rip away from the coat, and the tear will become worse. Nor do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine runs out, and the skins are ruined. Rather, people pour new wine into fresh skins, and both are saved." A synagogue leader came to Jesus while he was talking to John's disciples. He bowed down in front of Jesus and said, "My daughter just died. Come lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus and his disciples got up and followed the man. Then a woman came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his clothes. She had been suffering from chronic bleeding for 12 years. She thought, "If I only touch his clothes, I will get well." When Jesus turned and saw her, he said, "Cheer up, daughter. Your faith has made you well." At that very moment, the woman became well. Jesus came to the synagogue leader's house. He saw flute players and a noisy crowd. He said to them, "Leave. The girl is not dead. She's sleeping." But they laughed at him. When the crowd had been put outside, Jesus went in, took her hand, and the girl came back to life. The news about this spread throughout that region. When Jesus left that place, two blind men followed him. They shouted, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Jesus went into a house, and the blind men followed him. He said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they answered. He touched their eyes and said, "What you have believed will be done for you." Then they could see. He warned them, "Don't let anyone know about this," but they went out and spread the news about him throughout that region. As they were leaving, some people brought a man to Jesus. The man was unable to talk because he was possessed by a demon. But as soon as the demon was forced out, the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed and said, "We've never seen anything like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He forces demons out of people with the help of the ruler of demons." Jesus went to all the towns and villages. He taught in the synagogues and spread the good news of the kingdom. He also cured every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt sorry for them. They were troubled and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is large, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord who gives this harvest to send workers to harvest his crops."